Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday. That means it's time for the Wrestling Inc. Monday Night Raw after show. And have we got a show for you? Rhea Ripley gets a little bit of revenge. CM Punk's not done with Drew McIntyre and the Wyatt 6 debut in the ring. Plus, there's like a million other things I could have added to our little intro, but I don't got time for that. I got to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by Justin Labar and Jimmy Corderas with the kind of plaque that dentists don't hate.
No, this one, again, finding some memorabilia as I scour the home. This one here, it is.
Smash moment of the year. Jimmy Corderas, the referee's elbow.
Yes. That was in 2013. I did a little thing for Smash Wrestling, which is a local group here in Toronto. A friend of mine runs it. And I had a little moment where I decided that I would emulate one final boss and drop an elbow, a la running the ropes and the whole bit.
So you use the referee's discretion to drop an elbow on somebody mid-match, huh?
No, Mr. it was post-match. Corderas? It was post-match. It was post-match. Oh, it's okay.
But it's all fair game, Justin. Yes. So Justin, Jimmy Corderas over here, kind of referee that always makes sure that you follow the rules, of course.
He is not going to let anything slide. He runs a tight ship on his watch. When he is the referee in charge, there's no margin for error.
Referee's discretion. Jimmy is the discretion. So, folks, we've got so much going on this episode. But before we do, I want to take a moment to mention that, of course, this weekend, SummerSlam. And what a SummerSlam it was. Lots of great action. In fact, we had George Hermosa and Flobo Boyce covering it here on Wrestling Inc. And everyone who didn't check it out should really go check it out. Really great analysis, laughs, good time with them. But I want to chat with you guys about it a little bit. Justin, I know you've covered it as well on Busted Open Radio and your Sunday morning program. What were your kind of quick takeaways for the Wrestling Inc. family here?
A solid show. Atmosphere was there. Aesthetically, I love the look of the smaller entranceway, not the giant stage that towers over the crowd. Smaller entrance, still flashy, LEDs, some pyro, some smoke, so still some ballyhoo. But yeah, when you see the talent get lost in a sea of 50,000 people as they're walking the long aisle, great look. And a 7-card show, certainly a lot of talent we could rattle off who were left off of the show that's speaking to the criteria of these WWE PLEs of not everybody's going to get on there for a payday, not everybody's going to get on there for a participation trophy. We are going to give the best stories that we have. We're going to save some things maybe for Monday Night Raw, like a Wyatt Six. We're going to put the best on there, not let the show run all night. And even still with seven matches, it still was a solid 4-hour show, not rushing anything. I didn't think anything disappointed. I thought every match, you know, had something to offer to the night, and it was well done. Well, I mean, I could go through all seven, but I won't do that right now. But it was a well done show.
Yeah, I thought it was it delivered. It felt like a big show. It felt like the biggest SummerSlam in a very long time, as far as the stakes on everything. Jimmy, your thoughts, by the way, Droy J here calls you the judge, jury, and discretioner. I thought it was fantastic. Roman returning, even though it felt like we all kind of knew he was coming back, still was like awesome that he came back. And I want your thoughts, Jimmy, but also I want to throw it to you. Is there I saw some people complain that maybe the predictability factor could be an issue. Now, we've talked about predictable can be good if it makes sense. Is there sometimes too much of it, though? Do they sometimes need to throw a monkey wrench in the gear just to keep things exciting?
For me, there's no point in throwing a monkey wrench into the gears just to throw a monkey wrench into the gears. Like you said, if it makes perfect sense and it's executed properly, then there's no problem with predictability. I've said this 100 times. I have read books. I have watched movies based on true stories where I knew the outcome of the story. It was how the story was told getting me to that conclusion. And what they did at SummerSlam was tell great stories getting to those conclusions. I thought every match delivered. Every match was given ample time. Save the Intercontinental title match, which was in some people's eyes a little short, but it was what I think it needed to be if you want give Bron Breakker that next level step up. And I thought that delivered as well. So, but overall, like Justin said, the ambiance was beautiful. They put on a production like nobody else. They didn't rush through the matches because in between matches, we were given a nice video package, replaying the stories that were being told. And that's the beautiful thing. Every match had a story to tell. So I thought overall the pay-per-view was you could say solid, but it was double solid.
Predictable is fine as long as it's logical.
Yes.
Yeah, Justin, one last thing on this, because again, we have a thick show to get to. THICC thick show to get through. We have my last thing on this. This is something else I saw on Twitter and the discourse about it, is how these WWE shows have been more angle based than match based. And I'm ignorant here. I feel like I don't get what people are talking about. That's the whole premise. Is it like these matches are great matches? There's angles. I mean, I do kind of know what they're trying to say, but I just think realistically, isn't that the point?
I mean, if we're all speaking the same language, yeah, I would agree that this is where fans and everybody using wrestling terminology and do they understand the terminology they're using, I guess, can get a little distorted. My takeaway, and I'm going to use the language that I will use, my takeaway is, yes, these PLEs, the SummerSlam most recently, if you want to say they're angle-oriented, to me, I take that as to what Jimmy just said. To whereas if you're getting to see the video packages in between, every match has a rich story. It is not a match because one person is ranked here and one person is ranked here, and that's the sum of the parts. No, it is, you know, the Liv Rhea story. Liv injures Rhea, and Liv is messing with Dom, and whose side is Dom on, and you know, even Gunther, or you know, even Gunther, who earned number one contendership by winning King in the Ring several months ago, it's not just he's now the ranking number one contender. He's calling Damian Priest and all that Priest has worked for and accomplished. He's street trash, that he's just a common folk, and that it means nothing. So, I mean, I take it as, yeah, these shows, these matches are all have something way more than just wrestler A versus wrestler B for product C. You know, you could watch other, there's been WWE shows in the past that have been matches to that. certainly AEW's flavor with some of their matches would lean to that formula of we're just putting A versus B because of where they rank for the title of C. And again, not saying any one is wrong than the other. It's all your flavor of ice cream. But yes, WWE has been story heavy. And what I think has been proven, and I think it's proven by the reaction both live at SummerSlam in Cleveland and then online, just the general overall reaction is it's you're going to capture a lot more people when they can sink their teeth into a story. They don't have to all like the same. Some might like Liv. Some might like, yeah, Liv, you go take your title and Dirty Dumb. Not everybody has to be on the same page in terms of who they want to see win or lose or what have you. But as long as everybody can understand the story being told and make their opinion after that, that gets everybody engaged. That gets everybody either high-fiving in the crowd or hopefully playfully, you know, jaw jacking at each other and having some fun with each other because you have a side, you have some investment into the story. And that's what all this is based around, is investment into a story.
Yeah. And cool. And if I can just real quick, like you said, Justin, it's based on a story, all these stories. It's not an angle being run. It's a continuation of a story. There's a difference there.
Yeah. I agree. I think that this is what makes wrestling great. It's what makes wrestling fun. I'm digging it. And the matches are great too. So I don't really get where people are coming off with. It's not wrestling, Matt. These are great matches. Who are we fooling here? So even if you took away the story, they're great matches. Who are we fooling here? Let's talk a little bit about news, because we got a lot to get into today. We have Roman Reigns being advertised for Friday's WWE SmackDown. Justin, Roman Reigns returned, probably the biggest story of the night from SummerSlam. And they're already putting him on weekly episodic television. This is big. This is a big thing for WWE. Break down what you're expecting from this.
I think they're doing this the right way. You know, you have Reigns as the surprise return at the end of SummerSlam. Surprise, because it wasn't advertised, but a lot of the fans were hoping and wanting it, to the point of where if he didn't show up at SummerSlam, there might have been some unrest. But you get the surprise of him returning, and but you still don't know what his move's going to be. You don't know what his action's going to be. And he makes not a beeline. He still has that tribal chief strut, but gets right in the ring, and there's no... what am I going to do? He decisively knows he's given a Superman punch and a spear to Solo. So you get that surprise factor there that leads the headlines for SummerSlam. And then, now you want to advertise that he's going to be at SmackDown. It would be weird if he wasn't at SmackDown. Why would he show up and make an impact at SummerSlam and then, be gone again for a few more months? So now you get to pop the rating of the advertised Roman Reigns return after 4 or 5 months, whatever it's been. I look to this Friday for the additional wrinkle of... Before Roman makes his appearance, we get the ladies and gentlemen, we get the return of the wise man who introduces the tribal chief.
Jimmy, I would love to see the wise man back. Paul Heyman, it might be my one very much up there as an absolute favorite in all of pro wrestling for me. Roman Reigns, though, I'm glad. I personally think it's great that he's come back right away, because with what happened, it would be silly if he didn't show up for another 3 weeks and be like, okay, that was random. So I think he needs to be back. But also, something that WWE does so well is those little things that add to the overall story. Like, obviously, he was there to get some payback on Solo Sikoa, but that little look at Cody Rhodes, just to remind us, I'm not done with you yet either, kid. It keeps the whole world open for them.
Absolutely. It's the little subtleties that they do that really, really resonate with the storytelling aspect of pro wrestling. And like you said, just, I love that little strut down to the ring. It didn't look, Kevin Owens trotted down. So did Randy as best he could, because Randy's pretty thick right now. So he did his best. But, Roman was Roman 100%. That little nod was just subtle enough where you thought, okay, he took out Solo right away. There was no... I like the fact that he didn't hit the ring and go, okay, let me tease who I'm going to go after. Am I going to go after Cody? He went right after Solo. You knew his mission right away. And then after he did his damage, he gave the ring to Cody. He did the little nod and gave the ring to Cody and let Cody do his business. So, but at the same time, the crowd was, this guy's a megastar. And it's amazing how a few months ago, people were chanting, you know, we don't want Roman. We hate Roman. Now, that's all you're going to get. He is arguably a bigger babyface right now than Cody is.
Did you guys see the stats? And chat, correct me if I have this wrong, but I think I saw something like combined on social, like his that the video of him at SummerSlam has like accumulated 100 million.
Yeah.
And he sold X amount of, they have the new OTC shirt and they have a new Roman belt. Like it's just selling like, but it's like, it's insane. The amount of millions that he is just drawn by what was probably a 90-second appearance.
Yeah. He is that guy. And it's, you know, it's funny at fans. Sometimes we're slow on the take because they've been telling us for a decade he's the guy. It took us a while to all catch on. Now, obviously, there were some things that changed along the way, too. But it doesn't sound like a spicy take when I don't make it sound like it's the fans' fault. So I'm going to do that. We weren't ready for him, but he absolutely proved it to us. Same with Cody, by the way, in very different ways. Very cool to see both of them do that. Jimmy, I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but you've been teasing you're working on something here. And Fernando, I think, figured it out. Says Jimmy is going to join Roman Reigns on Friday. Are you joining Roman Reigns? You're the only Jimmy I could think of that would be joining Roman Reigns.
I could think of another Jimmy who's been out of sight and out of mind for a little while. I think if I were there, I would acknowledge him, and that's about it. I'm not getting involved in that.
Oh, come on. I can see you. I can see you with the bloodline, Jimmy, holding the one up. Fit in perfectly.
Then fade to black. I'm out.
We've got some news. Speaking of the bloodline, on some injuries that happened at SummerSlam. I should say people got banged up at SummerSlam. Jacob Fatu and Logan Paul seem to have gotten both rattled, but we don't really have details on exactly what it is or how long they will be out. Justin, didn't sound like they were too concerned when Triple H was talking about it after the show, but sounds like, you know, as wrestling is, dangerous sport.
Oh, yeah, as the old saying goes, it's not ballet. Yeah, I mean, and Logan Paul, who you know, just continues to top his performances. I mean, we're beyond the conversations of does this guy, you know, should he have a spot on the card? He clearly brings it all when it's his time. You know, hopefully he's okay. He's not as concerning to me. Just because he did drop his title to LA Knight, and by the nature of he is a part timer, you know, he could be gone until Royal Rumble. So you could kind of whatever time he needs to heal with whatever he might be dealing with, it's a lot easier to give to him versus, you know, a Jacob Fatu, who the night prior to SummerSlam won the tag team titles. And obviously is part of the top story in the Bloodline 2.0 versus whatever, you know, Roman and such is going to be. So you want everybody to be okay, but the Jacob Fatu is the bigger one. I mean, I saw a photo surface. I don't know what extent is maybe selling or what's legit. I saw a photo surface of later that night in Cleveland of Jacob Fatu in a walking boot. So that would, if that's legit, that would at least indicate a couple weeks at bare minimum that he's going to be kept out of physical activity, just to let whatever might be going on heal. You hope it's nothing more than that, because, you know, quite honestly, you know, and I don't want to put down Solo, because I think Solo has been given a tall task and done the best he can. But when you look at this Bloodline 2.0, from the temperature that I take every week from our wonderful audience here, talking to you gentlemen, Busted Open Nation, the temperature overall I've taken is that out of all this Bloodline 2.0, Jacob Fatu has grabbed the most immediate, like, oh my God, that dude's somebody. Again, not putting down Solo or Tama Tonga or Tonga Loa, but Jacob Fatu's just came in with a different kind of intensity that, you know, and so I would hate to see that he's going to get sidelined for an extended period of time, even to the point of where they say, okay, he's not the tag team champion and they have to give that title to Tonga Loa. So we'll see what happens, but, you know, there's certainly a story there of Jacob Fatu. He's so intense, he's willing to hurt himself to inflict pain on others as he does that dive.
Yeah.
From the top rope to the announce table.
Jacob Fatu, I feel like anyone who's seen him before he signed with WWE has been saying this for a long time. Jacob Fatu is something special. He is Mm-hmm. He is there are certain people I would say force of nature, and he's one of those people. He comes in and you're like, this guy's different. They're all big, they're all scary, they can all kill you, Jimmy, but something about Jacob Fatu is different. And I echo what Justin says. I hope neither of them are hurt, but man, it would be a bummer if Jacob Fatu at the very least can't fake it for a while.
No, I know what you mean, because a guy like Jacob Fatu, I could almost imagine what it was like trying to put that walking boot on him, refusing to put it on and wanting to walk out on his own steam. So that's the type of guy he is. He's going to tough it out. And yes, with those elevated risks, man, sometimes stuff happens. Like we talked about, just jumping down to the floor from the ring apron, you can twist an ankle or blow out a knee or something like that. But the risks are elevated, and that's part of the business. And you know, it's an unfortunate part of the business, but you manage to make the best of it, especially like you said, since he just won the tag team titles. Maybe they'll allow a different kind of bloodline rules and allow a member of the bloodline to substitute for him or something like that. I mean,
which would make sense to apply a Freebird rule to a bloodline rule would make sense. Mm-hmm. If in fact you don't want to take the titles out of the bloodline because they just right. want them. But if they need to be defended over the next few weeks and Jacob Fatu is not clear, if you have this stable, that would make sense to allow the title to transfer over.
Yeah. If Michael P.S. says Hayes still has a say in it, you know that's happening.
I hear he does.
Yeah.
Made by Don says, I saw Jacob Fatu in Reality of Wrestling, a place I'm seeing a lot of NXT folks coming from, that Booker T connection there. I got to see him in PCW Ultra here in Southern California. So during SummerSlam, there was a ref cam with Seth mm-hmm. Rollins. It seemed to be an odd situation where Rollins could be seen removing the camera from his body, leading to some to wonder whether it was part of the story or the match, or he simply didn't like wearing it and took it off. According to Fightful Select, it was simply a technical error and the battery pack fell off, meaning that there was no need for it. And it wasn't filming anything, leading Rollins to take it off. Jimmy, ref cam. I'm very curious about your thoughts on the ref cam. And someone like Seth Rollins just saying, I'm just taking this thing off.
It is a little cumbersome. I mean, obviously, the referees wear an IFB, which is very well hidden. And now they have a little talkback button where they could actually talk to Gorilla so they can have a conversation back and forth if needed. Now adding this ref cam, which kind of sticks out like I was going to say a sore thumb, but it's a lot worse than that. It's almost something like the only person who could wear it and hide it is someone like a J.D. McDonough. But, you know, and that pack that you got to wear on the back is very cumbersome. You know what I mean? It's a lot bigger than the one you wear for your IFB and the mic. But, you know, let's say, for example, not that we see a lot of them anymore, but occasionally they do happen. What if you have to take a ref bump and you land on that damn thing?
Yeah.
Well, that's going to hurt any more worse than a twisting, burning 450 Hammer Phoenix splash. I'm telling you that. And to having to wear that during the match and trying to get some footage from it while you're moving around and trying to direct traffic and trying to do your job, I don't know what good footage you can get from that thing.
Yeah, because you can't really direct them to say, look at, because usually the guy in the truck is saying, you know, tighten up on this shot, look over here, get in this place. Mm-hmm. You can't really say that to a ref because they're in the middle of working.
So when they're counting a pinfall, do they turn their ear this way just so you can get the shot clearly? I don't know.
It reminds me of a bad spy movie or something where they're trying to spy on somebody. But J.D.
Can you say that again, please? Can you say that again?
J.D. McDonough, what's nice about him is he actually wouldn't even need to strap it on. I think the gravity of his head would just hold it to the side there. Justin, did you like maybe it needs some tweaks, but do you like the idea of a ref cam, or do you think maybe this is a nice attempt but not something they need to revisit?
Well, the idea of it is intriguing. You know, you can't, so to apply this to the sports world, you know, if you like in hockey coverage, you know, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. If you're watching a hockey game in prime time, depending on who the depending on what network is airing on or what have you, they might have an ISO cam on Alex Ovechkin. So you can go online and just watch the Alex Ovechkin camera, even if he's not on the ice, even if he's on the bench. Then you can, yeah. You know, so I like the idea of like you have this other angle, you can never have it be like a separate feed you're going to take, because, and I feel a little out of turn talking about this because Jimmy's on here, but it's like, you don't always want to be showing what the ref is seeing or hearing, because part of that's not meant to be shown or heard. But at certain times for certain replays, because the ref is the closest to the action, that could give you a very impactful replay. If the ref is in place and you're seeing a Jacob Fatu make a big splash and that's the three, that could be a very cool angle that no other camera could get. Even the even Rico there at ringside under the bottom rope, seeing what Chad Patton's getting could be a cooler visual than you have. So it could make for a very good replay. It could make for great cuts to put into video packages. But I noticed immediately what Jimmy's referencing. You know, they already have a pack on their back for the audio and communication to the back. And now with the ref cam being clipped to their ear, there's another pack, which I assume is some kind of internet router. It's something that's allowing it to be a nonstop signal that's giving that feed to the truck. And like Jimmy said, that's one more thing they got to carry on their back belt. God forbid they got to take a back bump. God forbid they accidentally just it's live, folks. If they end up taking an unintentional back bump because of chaos, you know, it's there's a lot of issues to it. So I'll be curious to see how. I don't think they should poo-poo the idea, but I'll be curious to see the next time they roll it out. Basher Berlin, do we see a ref with it? I don't know. I'll be curious to see how it gets integrated. Look, we're going to Netflix in January. Mm-hmm. Is that legit some kind of thing? Like, I don't know, but it's intriguing. It is intriguing, but it comes with risks for sure.
If I could, just a little thing here too. If there was a way to get that pack that they wear in a smaller version, other than that big thing, because it's not just a bump that you take. Let's say you have to exit the ring, and sometimes you're in a hurry to get out of the ring. And if that pack gets caught on the rope on your way out, you know, it could do anything from tear your pants to, you know, hold you up and make you fall out of the ring or something like that. It's a little cumbersome. That's for sure.
It could get tricky too when it's like, oh, we saw three matches without it. Now the fourth match has it. Do they have something planned for this match? You know, if it's not for every match. And I love that they're trying new things out. If they change nothing, I would say, I don't need to see it again. But I have a feeling they're going to continue to evolve it in some way. And I think it's cool they're trying new stuff. And so I didn't love how it was presented on SummerSlam, but I hope they continue to play with it, because I think that's how you keep things fresh.
Jimmy, I almost wonder if they're determined to go down the path of figuring it out. I almost wonder, and this would visually to the ref maybe look ridiculous, but because they have this thing clipped to their ear, that's the camera and the pack and everything we talked about, I almost wonder if maybe are you better off if you want to have a ref cam and you're gonna let the whole world know that you have it.
I know where you're going.
Are you just better off of having almost like virtual reality glasses, like having the ref basically wear a visor or a set of glasses, something to where it's like everybody knows that's what that is. But at least it's more secure and less, less prohibitive of whatever a ref might have to do. And quite frankly, it's on their eyes, so it's maybe a little more stable, maybe a little bit more honest, anyways. I can see them continue to want to go to the path and try to figure out a way to do it. And it might say, okay, well, a thing that's the size of a Bluetooth earpiece clipped to the ear is problematic. Let's just give them glasses.
No, that's an intriguing idea, but the referee is supposed to be kind of inconspicuous, and I'm concerned that maybe, just maybe, it might be a little bit of a distraction noticing a referee there wearing something that looks like, you know, like hey, you said, Bret Hart sunglasses.
Willy Wonka vision? Referee vision.
There you go. Referee.
They'll have to find something to make sure it's stable, because like with glasses, I mean, even if you're just nodding your head a little bit like this, you know, we've all seen someone's cell phone footage when they're walking around. And it's like, what are we looking at? You know? And I mean, I could imagine you're reffing and you're like looking at one guy, looking at the other guy, you know, and then like moving around. I could imagine your footage is going to be very shaky. I don't know. They might have technology.
Yeah. And for someone like myself wearing one, hair is not an issue, But if you do have longer hair, it could, you'd have to tie it up in some form or fashion so it doesn't fly in front.
Droy J says American Gladiator's helmet cam. That's the answer. There you go. We got one last piece of news here. Triple H was talking about him and Nick Khan's agenda for 2024. It was pretty vague, but they did say, quote, "This year is going to close out big. Excited for all of it. The future's bright. We are all just charging ahead. If what I believe to be true coming is true, you ain't seen nothing yet." Now, this goes for everyone in the chat, and this goes for you fellas. Jimmy, I'm coming to you first, so get ready. I want your prediction of what you think Triple H could be talking about, that big thing. And you know what? I don't want any safeness, Jimmy. I don't want you to say numbers are going to be up 10% year over year. I don't want something silly. I want big. I want bold. I want you to really put it out there. What's the biggest, nutsest thing you think that Triple H could be talking about? That goes for you in the chat. What's something crazy you think that Triple H might be thinking is coming by the end of the year?
Maybe the announcement that not only SummerSlam is going to go to two nights next year, but also the Royal Rumble. Because that is an interesting idea. You can headline the first night with the Women's Royal Rumble and the second night with the Men's Royal Rumble or something like that. I don't know. Maybe that's an idea.
Interesting. Justin, what do you think? I think it's going to be something massive. King Art says Joe Hendry beating Gunther for the world title is going to be the big news. Einstein Rap says more TV time for Akira Tozawa. Now, that would be incredible. I think that's what we definitely need to see. Secular Belt is where I'm at. WrestleMania on the moon. Let's go.
Well, I don't think this year's Rumble is going to be two nights. I think you know, they've already advertised it's in Indianapolis. This might be the last Rumble that's one night, as it seems that that's the direction we're moving in with all the major fours. It's becoming a two night thing, So if he's being true, if we're dissecting his words true, so towards the end of the year, again they're kicking off January on Netflix, which I think is going to be a big deal for the future of not only Raw but just WWE in general. So that's happening. I can't really think of any talent that, like, I mean, you know, there's talent that maybe, you know, who could be in other places that maybe are here by then. But even that, I don't see as necessarily. I don't know. I don't know. I guess it's a great question, because WWE continues to one up themselves on many metrics, attendance, all the thing. They just had record sponsorships. So I don't know what it would be. I keep going back to, again, we're starting off 2025 on Netflix for Raw. That's not nothing. So I don't know what it could be here.
I'm going WWE UFC crossover. I think we get that Forbidden Door opened up, or I guess if it's WWE, what we call it, something different. We'll call it the Tunnel of.
I could see mega weekend events where they take over a city and you have a UFC event, a WWE event. I don't. If you're Jack, if you're suggesting like a Forbidden Door situation, I don't see how that could work real well. That presents a lot of problems to me. But I could see a mega takeover of, we're going to said city, and you thought we already took over a city as is. Wait until we bring both global brands, UFC and WWE, and it's going to be game over.
I have a question for you. Mick Cloud has a question here, and I've seen this passed around. I don't even know if it's possible. Mick Cloud's saying rebranding, turn back to WWF. Is that even possible?
No.
I mean, Wildlife Fund, they're locking that down.
Not only that, they're already the recognizable brand across the world as WWE now. They've cemented that into people's minds. So I don't think changing it now would be a good idea, because the promoting that you have to go, that would go into trying to rebrand them and get people to go, oh yeah, that's right, that's WWE. Unnecessary, yeah. A waste of money, in my opinion.
Same. I don't know. I don't think even legally if they could, but the amount of money, the money they put in for the marketing of get the F out and stuff like that. Some of that was just to break even on. They had to trash so many shirts and trucks and things. The last 22 years they've been WWE, they've been more recognizable as WWE than ever. Anybody who wants them to go back to WWF, and I would fall in this demographic of age, you just want to go back to your childhood. You want to go back to a time that was, but reality is WWE, those three letters have way more equity in pop culture than WWF.
Yeah, Jimmy, even with the lanyard there from those days. Yeah, that was something that I had to chat with my friend Evan Mack, who was once on the bump from WWE. We were chatting about it, and he mentioned to me more people like, well, now it's a little different, but most people know The Rock as a movie star. They don't know him as a wrestler anymore. A lot of the stuff we talk about, like WCW, I was a huge WCW fan. No one cares about WCW anymore. That's gone. It's done. It's over. It's the odds of WCW coming back are like the odds of AWA coming back. It's not happening. It's gone. So I don't think it really, you're not making money off of that change. So there's no real point in making that change. But that does it for our news tonight. Jeez, we have a lot of stuff going tonight. Mm-hmm. We also got a lot of great folks here in the chat with us. I can't shout y'all out. There's too many of you, but Chris Evans and Mike Martin and John Everett and Manish and A Plus LA. We also got Rick Plott and Chris Bucks, Tox Kazim, Baby Ice, the King Art, all here with us. If you're here lurking, we appreciate you as well. If you're here, like, comment, share, subscribe. We had a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I told myself I was going to have it ready to talk about and read for everybody, but I am a little bit behind schedule, and this is what we call killing time until I pull it up on my phone here.
Your hair looks great, Jack. I'm killing time.
Thank you so much. 5-star review from Grip Dollars 14 says, Veku, Glenn is a little on the other side. I don't know who married him. I don't know what that means, but that says Jack Farmer, Justin Labar, Flo Bo, and of course, WWE Hall of Famer GOAT Ref Jimmy C are the best. Starting to grow on George. Also, keep up the good work. Also asks where Issa and Alfred are. They are currently working on their own projects and very successful. Follow them on social media and all of their social media and YouTubes and stuff like that. But Grip Dollars.
That's Cordair to the C.
I'm checking my driver's license right now as we speak.
corduroy starts with the C, right?
Yes, corduroy with the C.
So that's fair. Oh, we got a super chat that we're going to get to. Tox, I see your super chat, and it is about the match later on, so I'm going to save that for when we are to that spot in the show. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farm with the Wrestling Podcast, and a few years back, WWE sold a New Day-themed kit where people could make unicorn horn-shaped popsicles. They don't make them anymore, but you can still make your own popsicles, even without the kit, and get top-tier hydration in the process. In these post-SummerSlam dog days, Liquid IV is offering refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet to keep you cool and give you 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. Liquid IV is always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's great for a road trip to No Mercy or watching All In at home. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's talk about this show. God, this was and people have been saying in the chat, and I tend to agree, this might be one of the best shows, Raws, in a long time. And I feel like we're saying this quite a lot. Even Master Cannoli, who's lurking 9 to 5.
That's a song, isn't it? Lurking 9 to 5.
What a way to make lurking. I'm gonna start with our main event here. I'm going to start with Chad Gable and the Creed brothers versus the Wyatt Six. We start with Chad Gable saying they're dropping Alpha Academy's name and giving it to Maxine. Maxine's upset at her friend Ivy Nile for siding with Gable. We get Joe Gacy's video, and American Made is the new name of this Creed brothers group. But the match is what we want to get to here. Six-person tag. We get moments from everyone at some point, but it's Wyatt Six who gets the win. This was a big moment, Justin. A lot of people have been wondering what this team is going to look like once they're in the ring. How did they fare, in your opinion?
I thought overall this was a win. This was a hit. I took a lot of things away. They managed to tighten up a lot of little details that I was wondering. From Chad Gable saying, you can keep the name Alpha Academy. And then they're American Made. And so we get that. We get the Wyatt Six in-ring debut. They come out. Commentary did a lot. Commentary, and maybe they dropped little hints here and there, but they were very blunt and saying, here is Dexter Lumis, who thinks he's Mercy the Buzzard. Here, mm-hmm. Here's Joe Gacy, who thinks he's Huskus. Here's Abigail the Witch. And I think they then said Nikki Cross. If you caught this, they refer to Uncle Howdy at one point as they were narrating about Uncle Howdy. They said Uncle Howdy is Bray's brother. So While he has the name Uncle, they acknowledge that the person that embodies Uncle Howdy is, of course, Bray Wyatt's brother. So this was good because it they weren't ignoring, acknowledge Eric Rowan as part of the original Wyatt family. Michael Cole noted on commentary. I did it on Twitter earlier the day. They're in Baltimore tonight. That was where the original Wyatt family of Wyatt, Rowan, and Harper first debuted. So there was a lot here that was really good. I thought overall this was good. The three Wyatt Six members, they still had to sell a little bit. There was still some heat spots to where they had to sell. They had to be vulnerable. They had to be mortal. I thought it came off. The crowd did a lot here. The crowd was chanting, this is awesome. The crowd did a lot to make this work. If the crowd was on their hand, if sat on their hands, or God forbid, if they would have started chanting boring or throwing a beach ball around, different story. But they were with this. So it felt like this came across to the television audience that, okay, these are mortal men, again, tortured souls. They come from a weird place that we can't relate to, but mortal. Heat could be done. They won a match. So overall, good. I still am left with the, okay, so we fought Chad Gable and his new cronies, and Chad's very disliked. Chad didn't appreciate his former family in the Alpha Academy with Otis and company. What's next? I'll be really curious. What's next? Who's the next person of interest for the Wyatt Six to have a problem with? And let's keep it in the regulation bounds of mortality, without being too supernatural.
Yeah, I agree with you. I love I feel like commentary, that line, I quoted it here in my notes. Dexter Lumis, who believes he's Mercy the Buzzard. That one line, and he said this about everybody. At some point, explains so much to me. And I go, I get it. Okay. I understand what this is. I understand exactly what this is now. I have no questions. I'm not like, why are they ghosts or whatever? I get it. It's a sick person who believes he's this fictional character. That's the power of commentary, really, and how little lines like that can bring the entire story together. And one of the reasons why Michael Cole is so good at it. Jimmy, your thoughts on this debut, and do you think that they should be done with American Made? Do you think there's more story to pull from this, or is it time for them to move on?
I think it's possible for them to do more with American Made, depending on what happens next week and how American Made reacts to what happened tonight. It's all, again, wait and see. And again, like Justin said, who are you going to have next in line for them? Who is going to be their target if this is over and done with? It's over and done in one shot. We talk about sometimes hotshot angles and stuff like that. Yes, they've been chasing Chad Gable for a couple of weeks now, or maybe even close to a month now, if not. But, you know, if it's a one match and done, I'm not on board with that. I'd like to see a little bit more and see Chad Gable get a little bit upset about this and want to get a little retribution. As far as their debut goes, they started chanting, "This is awesome," Justin, right as when they locked up in a fight. They started off in a Pier Sixer and it broke down into a wrestling match, which was, you know, kind of the opposite way that it
happens. Which I loved.
Yeah. No, it broke down and then they got it back together. And little things that matter for me, coming from the world of the rules matter, the match officially didn't start until it was calmed down and we got them in the ring and two competitors in the ring and little things like that. The only issue I had was with the ending. I wish they would have came up with something other than a frog splash for the finish, only because what we're going to get to pretty soon, what we saw earlier in the night. That's the only reason I would have wished they had come up with something a little more creative and different.
Justin, before we move on, Flobo actually had mentioned, I'm going to give him credit for it. He texted me, we were chatting back and forth while this was happening. I mean this respectfully, but I thought this was a really interesting observation. I'm going to ask you to time travel a couple times tonight, Justin, so get ready. I hope you don't get sick going back and forth through time, but this time I want you to go back to 2019 and imagine telling yourself that you were going to see a Gunther Randy Orton world title confrontation, CM Punk and Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins in a confrontation, all these things we saw, but you are going to see Eric Rowan and Chad Gable in the highly anticipated main event that got This Is Awesome chance and felt like the main event. Again, going back to when we had Mechanical Spider and Shorty G running around. It's crazy how this can change.
It is. And, you know, to even take it back, and I'm a huge fan I'm a fan of Eric Rowan, the character, and where he's at now, and you know what he legitimately has gone through in losing two close brothers. But even the man behind it, I'm a big fan of him. And what's crazy is when they were putting the Wyatt family together, this is going back to the NXT days. Eric Rowan was the odd man out. He was the one who the office was not sure if he was the right guy for it. And there were some other names that were tossed around. I won't mention them. But bottom line is, I agree with that time travel. I love the fact that he got to be part of the Wyatt family. The presentation, you know, him with the goat mask and everything. The history, the present, everything's great. It lives on in infamy. It's tragic, obviously, that we've lost the other two. So it is great that here we are in 2024, after all the trial and error that the Wyatt brand has gone through, some of which was under Vince's creative of, like, we're having the Fiend lose in a Hell in a Cell match to this, you know, to everything that's going on. It's awesome to see that Eric Rowan is part of this redemption/tribute project. And then Chad Gable, who, you know, could easily be written off as whatever. It's great to see this. It really is. Again, I go back to, you know, this is great to see. I want to see how many miles they're going to get out of this. Look, creative has proven up to this point that they have a plan, and they have Rob, I think his name is Rob Fee, I hope I have that right. He's the guy who's been kind of the long-term creative who was with Bray when Bray was still alive. I think he's still very active to this. So they obviously have people assigned to this project to fill in those gaps. Hey, what's commentary going to say? They're going to acknowledge that Joe Gacy thinks that he's Huskus. And he's going to do the upside down gimmick like Bray used to. And so it seems like they are filling in these holes that might otherwise have been, you know, overlooked. But I'm still just, when you're dealing with this walk the line of supernatural, human, and we're paying tribute to a very real thing, which is a character and a man lost his, was lost. I don't know where we're at come WrestleMania next year with this group. Hope they're around, but I don't know where it goes. That this is a huge wild card for me.
Yeah, I've always said, I feel like every week I'm like, well, they're going to have to prove that it's going to work. And then every week, it worked this week. They did great. So I know there's some people in the chat who are a little bit skeptical of how they've done things personally. I've been skeptical. And every week I go, you know what? They proved themselves right. We had one quick question before we definitely have to move on. And I'll throw this to Jimmy. Scott Langford asked, thoughts on Gable taking the pin. Was it the right call?
Yeah. Excuse me. I don't have a problem with Gable taking the pin because which one of the Greed brothers do you pick to take the pin? That's the obvious choice, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So the Greed brothers probably have a future as future tag team champions. Chad Gable doesn't hurt him in eating the pin in this one, I don't think. He hasn't lost any steam, and he can get it back quickly. That's how good he is.
Yeah. Speaking of good, we had great. Gunther comes out, introed by Ludwig Kaiser, and Gunther hints at a very long title reign ahead. Orton's music hits, and he says that Orton says that he wasn't really pinned by Gunther at the King of the Ring. So Orton wants a shot, and Gunther is going to give it to him. Justin, again, by the way, you're hearing this a lot. I thought they knocked this out of the park. I was surprised by Randy Orton. So surprised and happy. I didn't even care that he's not a Raw guy. I was like, cool, let's rock and roll, baby. I love this. I'm excited for it. Thoughts?
Yeah, and this is where when fans get hung up on the brand split and brand separation, I'm not so married to it. Randy Orton showed up tonight, and he's now challenging Gunther for the title, I think, at Bash in Berlin. And a few days ago, Randy Orton was a SmackDown roster member, so to some fans, there needs to be like an act of Congress that signs this into action. I'm fine with the I just am. It's the brand split was quite honestly, and Jimmy was there, so he can correct me if I'm wrong on this. The brand split was done because Vince had acquired WCW and ECW in a matter of a year, so they had to manufacture their own competition. I mean, that's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah. So. Look, if you need an opponent for Gunther and Randy Orton's it, and you have history, which was a great match a couple months ago, and they're right, they're kind of playing into what was a little bit questionable. Was that actually a clean pinfall? This is exciting to me. The only surprising part to me is that Gunther, who's Austrian, but he's in Berlin, so it's like all the same region. He's going in as like the home region, home country favorite. I thought maybe you line up a Drew McIntyre or somebody who's a heel any which way, and so it's not odd to see booed heavily because Gunther's going to be the huge babyface.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit odd that Randy Orton's going to go into Berlin and they're going to ask probably for him to be booed, but at the same time, Randy Orton is a great heel. Even if you tell him, hey, Randy, for one night, be the biggest SOB possible, and oh, he'll do it. So it's going to be a great match, and I'm fine with it. And again, I don't care about brand lines; they're pretty invisible to me, anyways.
I can imagine them all like, what? How is Randy going to handle being booed?
Yeah.
How is he going to deal with this?
He's going to be smiling big time. Trust me.
Yeah.
I love how Gunther was like, you know, nothing can surprise me. And then when Orton got out, he goes, that surprised me. I thought that was a fun little banter there. Jimmy, I want your thoughts on this. I also want your thoughts on the fact that Randy Orton said that the King of the Ring stands because referee's discretion. How do you feel about that?
Well, other than the terminology, I was fine with it. And the big thing is they gave us a tangible reason why we have someone coming over from SmackDown to challenge Gunther for the World Heavyweight Championship. There's a history here. There was an error made in the match, which they actually acknowledged. And Hunter said on social media that Randy will get his opportunity down the line somewhere. So why not? You want a big time opponent for him. Who do you can go the easy route and say, you know, well, Damian Priest can be that guy for his rematch, but he's already busy and tied up with the Judgment Day. So who else can we bring in? Can we pull someone off the Raw roster? Why don't we just go with Randy Orton? There's a history there. There's a good reason why he'd go for it. So let's do it. And I don't have a problem with it. Randy's promo was awesome, showing that he could still go on the microphone. Gunther presented himself really, really well as champion, looked the part, and I'm looking forward to it because if anything like what they did in Lyon, France, sign me up.
Could you imagine Jack Gunther? Could you imagine Gunther in the 80s?
So
this
cool.
guy who looks still the paid. Part, heel, looks the part. I say all this because I was actually texting with Jay Hood, my busted open co-host. Gunther's success right now in WWE personifies the Triple H era, because prior to the Triple H creative era, you would not get a heel who works the way Gunther does, who has the heel accent and the name and everything. You would not be strapping the Monday Night Raw brand is on his back now. You wouldn't be doing that. He'd be champion for a month, and then, who are we going to roll out to beat him? Or, I mean, like, or imagine in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Imagine him working Hogan.
Oh, it'd be so good.
Hogan be like, brother, ease up on the chops. Like, it just, this is just, I mean, Gunther is just a, Gunther belongs in the 80s, but he's here now. He personifies the current stance of booking of where we're not going to force feed and say, the guy with the foreign accent and the foreign name is the heel that's only going to be champion for a month. Like, Gunther very well could go into 2025 as champion. It's a fun thing to look at and think about when you really look at it about where Gunther could have been a couple years ago. It's fun.
Oh, he'd fit right in there with the Sergeant Slaughter and everyone else that Hogan was fighting. It is what I love about this story too, is they're already kind of baking in the Gunther's ready for anything. And he's going up against a guy who can catch you at any time with the RKO. I think that's the fun little thing they're building there, but Justin, it's time to time travel again. You ready? You're going into the future.
88 miles per hour.
You are doing the Gunther documentary. You're a talking head and they're asking you which win was bigger in Gunther's career. Beating Damian Priest to become the world champion or defeating Randy Orton in Berlin?
I would say the Randy Orton. Only because I love Damian Priest, but I think we all kind of just expected that he was going to beat Priest. Again, great match, what it was. But, you know, when you look at history of who Randy Orton is, That's a big thing. So, yeah, I think we kind of saw hints of Judgment Day's implosion and this and that, and hopefully Priest, you know, has a better run ahead of him at some point. Beating Randy Orton is, Randy's a legend killer, right? So that's,
yeah. Yeah, because I was thinking, winning the championship is huge. Obviously, first win is such a big win, but beating Orton in Berlin, not just anybody, but beating Orton in Berlin, which is about as close as home territory as you're going to get if you're from Europe and you're a pro wrestler. I mean, that could be such a big moment for him. Still hasn't won yet, but I'm backing Gunther. Speaking of people who haven't won yet, CM Punk. How's that for transition? He says it's the start of his road to WrestleMania. He wants round two with Drew, but it's Rollins who comes out. They're about to fight when Drew McIntyre comes out and talks some trash. Punk goes after Drew, but Bronson Reed comes out and just drowns Seth Rollins in tsunami. Jimmy, you're clapping here for our audio listeners. Another segment that just home run derby tonight, Jimmy Corderas.
Yes.
By the way, in America, we have this game called baseball and home run derbies, or where you hit the ball.
Hey, we play it up here, too. We have the Blue Jays and the Expos, or as they say it in Quebec, Hexpos, but still. But you talk about home run. This was a grand slam. You just made a guy overnight. Someone who the fans were kind of on the fence with. It was a stop and start with Bronson Reed. Never really got some momentum going. Tonight, that was all thrown out the window, and he got mega heat. You created a monster and a star all in one night, and it wasn't just one tsunami, it was a six pack of tsunamis that took him out. And you know, God bless Seth Rollins for having to take six of them, because that was it looked fit. And the fact where you had your security personnel, you had your authority figures, you had your referees all out there, and they couldn't stop him from doing it. They tried their best to say, you know, this is enough. And he just ignored all signs and went for it anyways. I hope they don't do the, okay, because you were, you know, egregious in your actions, we're going to suspend you for whatever period. Don't do that. I don't want to see Adam Pearce do that. I want to see some kind of retribution where somebody, he's now going to step up and go after him. But again, Bronson Reed was a made man in one segment tonight. Overnight, he is a star.
I want to shout out Majestic Marie here, who says, do you know many wrestlers who could make a 50-cent bracelet feel like a world title? And that might be the chat of the night. What a great comment there for everyone who says I'm a CM Punk hater. I think he's doing great. I thought this was an incredible segment. I love that they built that up. But Justin, I think the fact that we're talking about Bronson Reed after Drew McIntyre, CM Punk, and Seth Rollins all went back and forth. I love the visual of everyone trying to get on top of Rollins to protect him, but all getting out of the way once it came time for the tsunami. Again, picture perfect. Picture no notes from Jack Farmer.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. I'm a big fan of Bronson Reed, and you're right. Him continuing to get back up top and just deliver that despite the people. I mean, it made him. He's floundered in the mid card. He's missed out on being the number one contender for the IC title, or you know, whatever it is he's gone after. And this immediately next week on Raw, you're now your attention's on what's he doing. This also was able to buy time. You know, Punk is chasing down Drew still. Punk certainly has reason to beef with Rollins, but having this whole thing with Bronson Reed buys you time to where you could have another Punk Drew excursion to Berlin, or if it goes to Bad Blood, or however this time shakes out. But we still have the Seth Punk drama that's not lost on us. That's still there. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, again, Bronson Reed buys us some time to where if you're trying to save Seth and Punk until a certain time, you're doing that here. But you're also getting Bronson Reed over and elevated. So I like this. I don't know how it's going to shape out. You know, we have Berlin. We have Bad Blood, which, of course, lends itself to a lot of things. Is there a Hell in a Cell match in that? Then you have Survivor Series. So I don't know exactly how it's going to unfold, but I like what they were doing here. And like, okay, well, we still have more meat on the bone to Drew and Punk, but you still know you have Seth there. But if Seth can't immediately jump into that right now, let's get somebody over. Let's pull Bronson into this. So I thought this was good. This was really, really well done.
And it just is shocking when it happened too, when he just leveled Seth Rollins. It was shot well, just it was great stuff. And like you said, Justin, I love how there's layers to, like, we have stuff that can happen and there's still stuff already in the distance. And that's not even, I mean, that's inner brand too. I mean, I think we're all still waiting for the eventual Cody Punk match that's out there eventually.
At this point, Jack, that's way off yonder. That's still.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking, like, at some point, Wyatt Six versus Bloodline. I mean, there's so much stuff that, like, you can think about that's out there still, but there's still so much stuff to get go. And that's what makes it so exciting right now. Also, just evidence of exciting is I want to talk about Damian Priest. Can you believe we're this deep into the show before we get to one of the biggest parts of the night still? Because there was just that much stuff. Damian Priest calls out Finn Balor. Balor says he ain't coming. He's the new leader of this Judgment Day. His family left him. Damian Priest says his family is the fans now. We get a JD McDonagh versus Damian Priest match. And as Priest is about to get the win, Judgment Day jump in. Eventually, we get Rhea Ripley coming out, Clobber and Liv Morgan. Dom saves Rhea. Nobody saves JD McDonagh. Lots and lots of great stuff. But my favorite part about all of this, Justin, is that, well, I got two favorite things. One is that Liv Morgan finally got a happy ending to her love story with Dominic Mysterio. But two, Finn Balor's right. He everything he said was right. Damian Priest did kind of try to be the leader of the Judgment Day and was kind of out for himself the whole time. In the twisted wrestling way, the villain, Finn Balor, he was right. It wasn't just a you people turned on me. He had actual reasons.
There's so much here. Again, more story. It's great. I like the fact they at least established that Judgment Day is continuing. And it's Finn who would be the leader, I guess. And he's got JD and he's got Carlito. But Dom and Liv, they're part, you know, because I wasn't sure. After Saturday, I wasn't sure. Will Dom just go off into some hotel with Liv? Will they be their own thing? Like, so I like the fact they're like, they made clear what this, you know, what the new group is. Priest, you know, his title match at SummerSlam, the match that he loses this title, in my opinion, fellas, that match that he lost his title was the match that made him most solidified as, like, damn, he's a world champion. And there's something to be said about that. When the match that you lose your world title is the match that you prove the most that you belong as the world champion. And so I like the fact that the audience seemed to be behind him tonight in Baltimore. I like the fact they let him embrace Rhea. They let those two acknowledge each other. So again, more story here. More story to sink your teeth in, which is great, because my biggest fear was as soon as Gunther was crowned King of the Ring, I was like, all right, he's going to go against Priest. Priest is going to lose. I don't want that to be the only title run Priest has. This babyface reaction tonight and the situation with the Judgment Day now gives me hope that, you know, maybe not this calendar year, but that Priest will have another run as world champion, and it might be a very organic babyface world champion run, those are always the best.
And, you know, I've said before, I think the best match to be the best you've ever been as champion is your last match, because then it makes you want to see them champion again. I know there's a lot of big Kofi Kingston fans out there, but the fact that the last time he was champion was not a great outing makes it really hard to be like, man, I want him to be champion again, because you remember, didn't he lose in 6 seconds though? It's you always want people to leave wanting more. It's the first rule of entertainment. And so the fact that we're kind of like, oh man, he really felt like a world champion there. I kind of want to see him do it again. Now I want to see him get back. If he started strong and then trickled off and was like, I'm ready for him to lose it, that's not a good sign. That'd be really bad. Jimmy, a lot happened here. I know were you happy to see, Liv Morgan finally find true love and Dom?
Was I happy about it?
Were you happy to see
Trevor? I'm happy for anybody who could find true love. You know me. I got a heart of gold. What can I tell you there, Jack? But I want to say something to Justin's point. It's funny because he kind of touched on it there actually very well. It was a blessing in disguise for Damian Priest to lose the championship on Saturday at SummerSlam. Because, you know, now going forward, people are more invested in him than they were when he was champion. It was almost kind of like he was muddled in that Judgment Day storyline. Are they going to break up? What's the deal with Liv and Dom? Finn Balor looks like he's shooting daggers at him every once in a while. So it was kind of too many other things going on in the background. Now Priest can focus on one actual story here, and that's him versus the Judgment Day, and really sink his teeth into it. And we saw it start tonight, and people were on board. And I think it's the best thing that could happen to him. And like Justin said, down the road, you can revisit him in the World Championship picture.
Lots of good stuff there. We had Sheamus and Ludwig Kaiser. They have a match. Kaiser wants revenge for the injury he suffered, and Sheamus just likes fighting anyway, so it works out. Pete Dunne tries to attack Sheamus, but he gets blasted, and Sheamus still wins the match. Justin, I'd like your booking vision now. What do you think the long-term plan is for Sheamus? Obviously, Pete Dunne is next. Do you see him getting slotted into a title shot, or do you think he's kind of where Bronson Reed has been, where they're trying to heat him up just so he can, you know, get into rivalries down the road? What do you think their long-term plan is for him?
I don't know how close to the end Sheamus is. Like, I don't know if he's, you know, if he's got a year left, 2, 3, 4. You know, I mean, he's in pretty good shape. He is older than what a lot of us might think he is, because you know, he's been around for so long. I definitely think that he is a valuable title contender like Randy Orton is. Mm-hmm. In the sense of if you're going to try to establish Gunther, you know, Gunther and Sheamus in a world title feud for however much time would go a long way, I think. So I'm not exactly sure what we're going to get here, but Sheamus is in incredible shape for the age he's in. He's got a ton of, he's a Hall of Fame resume. So, you know, I kind of apply him the same way as Randy Orton. Like, you don't get to give him the title, but you make him a viable threat. Fans get behind him. They get behind the 10 beats, the Baladrin, and they get behind the fella and all this stuff. I mean, it's easy pickings. It's easy pickings to a guy like a Gunther who will just, you know, mm-hmm. look at him and dismiss him. It works out well.
Jimmy, Ludwig, I want to talk to you about him. Still Gunther's right-hand man, it seems. Mm-hmm. He was teasing, kind of breaking off on his own before he was injured. Do you think that if Ludwig was a stock, is it time to sell Ludwig's stock? Is he going to be kind of become the guy that people run through before you get to Gunther?
I wouldn't sell it just yet. I would hang on to it and just, it's a wait and see thing. Again, you know, I don't think it was hurt him losing to Sheamus tonight. I like the fact that Sheamus won despite the attempted outside interference, because even when we see outside interference thwarted, it still costs usually the babyface the match, and it didn't happen in this case. But Ludwig is a star in the making. He's a good speaker. He presents himself well in the ring. He sells well. He emotes well. He does everything right. If there is a right way to do everything, he does do it right. And I think there is star potential in him. I don't want to see them rush it. I didn't want to see him or Sheamus. I didn't want to see him win tonight only because Sheamus, I thought, like to Justin's point, if you want to make him a credible guy going in further to help elevate other talent, he has to win a couple of matches at least to make him look like that guy. So I wouldn't sell it just yet, but I'd be cautious at least. I'd be keeping my eye on the ticker.
By the way, Terry Allen Jr., I owe you an apology. I told you I was going to get to your super chat, and I brushed right over it. I apologize. Terry Allen Jr., going back to Damian Priest, says, creative sequence, escape south of heaven, then a headbutt, referee ear camera liked, did you trio? I'm not sure I understand that last part there, Terry Allen Jr., but yeah, creative, great sequence there with the South of Heaven. The South of Heaven feels like it gets better every time Damian Priest does it. I don't know about you guys. It feels like he was always kind of cool, but it feels like he unlocked like a higher level whenever he does it now. I don't know. He's gotten so good at it.
I've been given the South of Heaven by Damian Priest. It hurts. So I have all the respect to it. I've gone 10 feet in the air and come down. I think I lost my shoes in the process.
I would pay anything to see Justin get some air like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to send us that clip.
The internet exists. It's out there. I low blowed him and.
Oh, so you had it coming.
Well, I was just doing my job, but he felt differently.
I got to tell you, Justin, you know, taint the thing to do.
I wonder if I feel like tonight Damian Priest got that it's South of Heaven so high on JD. I was thinking, did he see that Jelly Roll choke slam? It was like, okay, I got to make sure this one looks good because Jelly Roll just destroyed Austin Theory earlier on last night.
I know I'm backtracking here. Sorry to cut you off, Jack. I know I'm backtracking here, but I'm going back to Eric Rowan's almost a choke slam or South of Heaven where he did the Iron Claw version of it.
Yeah.
That looked impressive, I tell you. Oh my goodness. Yeah. That was like, but I'll choke slam you in the process. What the heck?
That's a finish there.
Yeah.
We got some action with Lyra Valkyria versus Shayna Baszler. Before Lyra can get the win, the gang jumps her. I'm just calling this the gang now because we don't have a name yet. The gang, it jumps in and attacks her. Post-match damage control chases out the gang. Later, the gang beats up Dakota Kai, so we get Sonya Deville versus Io Sky. Lots of action in that one. Io Sky gets the win for damage control. Justin, it feels like this one is... It's heating up, but it also still feels like I'm not sure what it's heating up to.
No fault of any of the performers here. TV, like, I feel like they tried to make all this give time and make sense, and it just didn't. I don't feel like we're caring about these performers. And I don't know what the answer is. It's not a fault to the performer. It's not that Shayna or Lyra or any of them are not putting on good. They're not trying. It's none of that. I'm not putting any fault to the performers, but it doesn't. I don't care. I don't care about them. I'm still at a miss. This is, you know, for 3 hour Raw, this show was pretty solid. But this segment of things, I'm just not caring. I don't know what it's going to take, but I don't, and I don't think I'm alone. I think if you polled the 11,000 in the Baltimore arena tonight, I think they'd probably more than not be with me. I didn't care. I don't care. I don't know what the missing ingredient is. I'm not going to try to give some expert analysis of this is what they should have done. I'm not going to give you the Monday morning quarterback, but I just don't care. I stood up. This is where I lost interest. This is where I was getting my snack. This is where I was going to the bathroom. This is where I just didn't care. Sorry.
Yeah. Scott Langford says they've been force feeding 10 women into one story. Jimmy, do you think that the issue might be the potato bag analogy? Maybe too many potatoes in here. I don't want to compare them to potatoes. They're all very talented. I agree with Justin. I don't know what the issue is. I guess I would say it's stakes. I don't really know. You know, if Shayna Baszler's team wins, then what? I don't. You know. Okay.
What is the logical reason? What is the story behind them wanting to battle each other other than we want to show who's the dominant force? And like you guys said, I hate to sound like Captain Agreeable, but it's not resonating. And the audience told you everything you needed to know. Everybody in Baltimore, that was like, okay, you thought they got up and went for snacks and went to the bathroom. Yeah. It was too quiet. And trust me, people are noticing this in the back. They are seeing this. And like you said, Justin, what to do to try and fix this? I don't. it's easy to say, yeah, they should do this and they should do that.
And I felt bad because I think at one point, I think I heard a "this is boring" chant. I'm not trying to be a snarky podcaster analyst. I feel for that because, Jimmy has, and I mean, but I have to a lesser extent. I've been out in front of a crowd before, and I've been out there when they're not making noise and they don't care about what you're doing. And that is, that's a vulnerable feeling. That's just, that's a vulnerable feeling. Unmatched anything else when you're out there trying and they don't care. And so now you're out there in this live situation and you obviously have rules to follow. You can't just go bananas and do something stupid. That's a hard place to be. That's why I put the emphasis back on. I'm not faulting the ladies. I'm not, because they didn't do anything wrong, but on a show that was very hot, on a show that some of us are talking about as one of the best Raws and of the calendar year, when things were this quiet and disinterested, you have to address that.
Yeah, and I would say too, all of them are like all the people involved are people who have been popular before. It's not like these are people who have never done well and were wondering what they're doing on TV. Like Io Sky has been very popular. You know, Ladder of Valkyria has just won or got very far in the Queen of the Ring. Because it's not them. It's just something about it. Yeah, it just isn't.
Well, Jack, I'll also say this too, is that, and this is where a real positive becomes a negative. The female division, the women's division in WWE, when you look at the top of the card, you know, Nia Jax, you know, just became champion. You know, she beats Bayley. You look at Rhea and Liv, that business is on fire. And then you look at ladies who even didn't make the SummerSlam card. When you look at Jade and Bianca. Becky right now is retired, but probably indefinitely, right? Who else? Charlotte, whenever she gets healthy. The women's division, to the WWE's credit, is so strong on the top end that it makes for some of these ladies. It's just I don't know what it's going to take to get them to make their mark. If you're The Office, it's a really good problem to have.
We have another rivalry that's been going for some time now. Final Testament versus the New Day, AOP versus the New Day specifically. They still want to break up the New Day. When Final Testament uses the numbers game in their match, Odyssey Jones comes in to make the save. The match is thrown out. Afterwards, they all celebrate with Alpha Academy. Jimmy, what are your thoughts on this one? This is another story that feels like it's chugging along. I don't know how invested people are, but they've added Odyssey Jones. Do you think this is a game changer?
Potentially. Odyssey Jones had a good debut. I mean, some of the stuff he did in the ring, that double, what do you even call it?
Sidewalk slam.
Sidewalk slam, I was going to call it.
Both sides of the street.
I know, man. That takes some strength. It was interesting. The Final Testament, New Day, how long can this go? We've been seeing it for so long. The interesting part I found was that Odyssey Jones coming out to make the save for New Day. Xavier Woods didn't look all that happy until he got into the back and started dancing with Tozawa. I think that's the seed that's being planted here. But, you know, sooner or later, this has to end. And I don't mind Karrion Kross that much when he speaks. I think he's good on the mic, but why do you have someone like a Precious Paul Ellering with the group and not have him even utter a word? One of the greatest managers, talking managers of all time. That still baffles me. I don't know if there's a reason for it that I'm not aware of, but, you know, he should be used in some form or fashion, at least anyway.
Yeah, I get the feeling that Woods isn't that excited, Justin, about Odyssey Jones joining the group or being affiliated with the group. Scott Langford in the chat says, felt like an attempt to replace the missing piece of New Day, which was Big E. I think they got to play it careful here because you cannot, I don't believe, replace Big E. And if it feels like that's what you're trying to do, I think people are not going to embrace Odyssey Jones, who is big and talented and on his own. I just worry that unless there's something here, a story beat here, it might backfire on him.
Well, for me, I mean, Big E has been physically inactive for so long. I did not interpret it as a replacement. I actually interpret it as we've been coming close storyline-wise to having New Day completely dissolve. This was a valid attempt. And look, the crowd was in it. The crowd reacted to the double sidewalk slam. I took it as new. I've always said New Day is a tag team or trio, whatever you want to call them. In this day and age, the fact they've been around for a decade, that's an eternity, given how much programming we have and how, you know, teams and backstabbing. Yeah, that doesn't, you know, they've been around for 10 years. So when I saw that they brought Odyssey Jones out to what was, I think, a pretty good, successful, you know, debut, I thought this is a really good attempt. If there was ever a group that you're going to try to evolve and have, you know, we joke about Bloodline 2.0, blah, blah, blah. But if you're actually going to try to have a babyface group that's going to, like, evolve, New Day would be it. And this is the type of Odyssey Jones, the type of performer you want. And the crowd reacted to it. So, yeah, I don't know. I admire WWE for continuing to try to keep the New Day flame alive, if you will.
10 years, when you think about it, that was like twice as long as Nitro was on.
Well, right. I mean, that's what I mean. Like, when you look at when you put New Day up against, and we could do a whole podcast of this. When you put them up against Demolition or the New Age Outlaws or, you know, Legion of Doom, and when you go against any classic tag team, it's like, if you actually look, how many did 10 consecutive years?
Yeah, in one place, by the way, too.
Right. Yeah,
so
right.
Yeah. Unlike LOD and Road Warriors, they were around, but they were jumping to different places, and right. Yeah. So it's incredibly impressive. But so yeah, I mean, I am interested to see what this did. Add a new wrinkle that I'm interested in. I worry if you try to make me pretend like this is it's all the same with Odyssey Jones. I feel like it's gonna be like Heidenreich joining LOD.
Yeah. You know, like, I will say this, final thought though, I will say this, is that Big E, who's on the pre and post show panels, I would like some transparency. If he's done, which would suck, but I would like there to be that definitive statement, because that maybe could even help. That could even help the story. That's the one thing that sticks with me, is that, like, Big E's still like their New Day brother, but we don't know, is he done? Right. Like, if he's medically done or if he's retired, like, let me know that, because otherwise in the back of my mind, I still have, like, Big E's comeback match still there, and maybe unfairly, I shouldn't have that there. So I would like some clarity to that, if they could give it to us.
He has alluded to it kind of, you know, offhandedly, but he hasn't definitively said it. So,
which is that's the problem. The point,
yes.
It's there. And like, I care about Big E. I like Big E. I like New Day. I just, if Big E's going to say, I am retired, I can't go anymore, Odyssey Jones is going to take my place. Okay. But I'm sitting here waiting, like, well, what about Big E?
Right.
Right. Yeah. And so, yeah, if I know Big E did tweet that he did a great job, Odyssey Jones did a great job. But yeah, something so I can feel better about it. I don't want to feel like I feel like I'm cheating, you know? Like, I don't want to be like, right. I love Odyssey right. Jones. And then Big E comes back like, oh, no, he's here.
Right.
Odyssey Jones, hide.
Right. It's just, I think we need to get some, I think we need to, like, get some clarity in the Big E situation. I think that'll help our feelings.
We had two other things that happened. Just real quick, we'll kind of lump them together. Awesome Truth lost to A-Town Down Under after R-Truth accidentally knocked out his partner, The Miz. And then Bron Breakker, Sami Zayn, Ilya Dragunov, Jey Uso, they all had different backstage promos. We're getting a rematch, Bron Breakker, Sami Zayn, next week. Jimmy, any takeaways from these? Any thoughts you wanted to shed light on?
Well, it looks like the seed has been planted for Awesome Truth to go their separate ways. You know, with all good intentions by R-Truth, he ended up costing him the match by blind tagging himself in and knocking Miz out of the ring. So I think that's the first seed planted in the garden. And mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a nice little garden we're planting here.
Yes, exactly.
I got to work in a farmer bit in there somewhere, but I'm just going to let people, come up with it on their own. Justin, any takeaways from these? I mean, it feels like we definitely see the seeds that are planted, but any expert analysis?
No, not much more what Jimmy said. It definitely seemed like as fun as Truth and Miz is. They kind of planted a seed, and look, let's not kid ourselves. The Miz is MVP as a heel, so let's get him back to being a heel. Well, quite frankly, you could get him back to being a heel. We could turn it into R-Truth. You can get a week's worth of Raw out of that being a match because, you know, because of who they are. Bron Breakker is the IC champ. I don't see him losing it, but I like the fact that we're acknowledging, you know, Sammy's going to get a rematch. Jey Uso's heating right beside him. So we'll see where it all goes. But, we'll see.
The one thing I did like about Braun's statement was that they're not chasing him. He's chasing them still, even though he's champion. Just a little thing like that really resonated with me. I like the way he presented that. And just comes off like a real bad you-know-what.
It was great. Like I said, I wasn't born for this title. This title was born for me. That was a cool line I liked in there from Bron Breakker. So that's our show. Everyone in the chat, let me know your final thoughts. And while you're there, hit the like button, share, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. We'll go around the horn here. Justin, again, a fantastic week of WWE Raw. One of the good ones for sure. Final thoughts, and where can the world find you online?
Yeah, solid show. I mean, you know, there's things to pick apart, but I mean, this really is, again, pro wrestling is your, you know, it's a buffet. What flavor do you want? But for my taste, for the things that matter, the things that like should count for what makes you invested, what makes you want to pay to see something, WWE is hitting on a lot of those buttons, and I'm excited. So, you know, it's going to be a fun ride the remainder of the year. Follow me at Justin Labar across the Twitter, across the Instagram. Of course, follow me here every Monday night with you fellas. And then every, I'm Thursday or Friday, depending on how Spar with Labar on Busted Open. But every Sunday, 9 a.m. to noon, I have the entire 3 hours, myself and Jonathan Hood, Busted Open, Sirius XM, channel 156. Listen live on your SiriusXM radio, listen on demand on your SiriusXM app, or catch the abbreviated version podcast on wherever you get your podcast. So hard to avoid me.
And Jimmy, you know, I told the world I was going to ask you questions about Seth Rollins as a referee so I could scoop the Refnerd Up podcast and get it out there before they do. But I'm gonna play nice. I saved it so you guys can talk about that. Speaking of the Refnerd Up podcast, where can people find that? Where can people find you? And any final thoughts on the show?
Really enjoyed the show because it was easy to have a big letdown after a really, really good SummerSlam. But they delivered tonight. They really did. And I enjoyed the show very much. And as far as where you can find me, like Justin said, hanging and banging with you guys on Monday nights and Wednesday nights after Dynamite as well. Having a blast there. The Refnerd Up podcast. Brian and I with RJ holding the glue together, who went to SummerSlam with his young son Gavin this weekend, and they enjoyed it. They had a blast. And you know, this week we have Kevin Kelly joining us, my old buddy there. So should be a fun episode. And of course, I got a lot of other things that I'm under double secret probation not to disclose right now. So when the time is right, I will talk about them. And of course, my Roughing It Up podcast, you can catch from Monday to Friday on all my social media platforms, tightening the screws that I believe need to be tightened. And you can argue with me on Twitter and I can block you.
Jimmy, have you been doing this podcast sitting on a gimmick chair?
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Let me shave it down a little.
Shave it down.
Okay. There we go. I shaved it down. Here we are.
Not as dangerous.
No.
Yeah, it's dangerous to be sitting on a shaved chair. You might fall through.
No, it's not only that. It's the splinters. They kind of metal splinters. You know what I mean?
Well, this was a really, really great episode of Raw. I mean, I think the fact that we had so much stuff that feels like it could have been on a pay-per-view, save for a weekly show, because they just have so much great stuff going on, is probably the best situation you could be in. Because I was saying to myself, they should have had Wyatt's debut on a pay-per-view, but or a PLE, but geez, like, where are you going to find time for that? You got all this other stuff to do. So really, really good time in WWE right now. This is the fun summer wrestling that I'm a huge fan of. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. I'm going to be back on Wrestling Inc. on Wednesday to cover AEW Dynamite. Also, me and Flobo, another Wrestling Inc. host, we chat NXT on Draped in Gold every Wednesday morning. You can join that. And we have a fun time. We goof around there, so check that out as well. And also check out the LA Rumble replay on Fight TV. 30 people enter, one person leaves with a shot at the Santino Brothers Championship. It works just like the Royal Rumble. You guys know how that goes. So check that out. That does it.
Jack, you're everywhere. Do you take a break ever?
I don't really. You know, I'm always running around to the next. I can't stop talking. That's the problem, Justin. I just keep talking all everywhere. The time. I can't shut up. That's my problem.
Your head of hair is everywhere.
He's everywhere.
Today it was I wasn't ready, actually. I threw water in it. I flipped it back, and this is what you get.
Stop.
Same here.
Stop. Same here.
So listen, by the way, there's many sponsors out there. If you want to sponsor this head of hair, I know I'm not going to say your name on the show because you got to pay us first, but there's a lot of products out there that love sponsoring podcasts. Get your money's worth here, baby. That does it for us. We're going to sign off now. Oops, almost lost my microphone. That does it for us. I'm going to hit the end stream button before I knock over my desk and before Jimmy falls through his shaved chair. Good night.
I'll stick a little.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.